The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
That's what we primarily cultivate here in our meditation practice. I'd like to offer a working definition of it. A working definition I like to start with is the awareness of what's happening in the present moment while it's happening. So a sense of presence, a sense of knowing that is here with us right in the present moment. And we cultivate this practice often by picking something to pay attention to, turning our attention to the breath, for example, and trying to know what the breath is in the present moment while we're breathing. And lo and behold, often what we see is that we can't do that very easily. The mind will wander off. What I'd like to explore tonight is this phenomenon of mindfulness disappearing and reappearing, which we usually call the mind wandering. But I want to turn it around and frame it in terms of being curious about the mindfulness that comes and goes. Because this phenomenon of the mindfulness coming and going is something that we can explore and learn a lot about our minds through this very exploration. Just one other piece to say is that I often will use the terms mindfulness and awareness synonymously, and I will do that in this talk. So just so you know, I'm not referring to some other thing when I use the word awareness. I will kind of use those two terms interchangeably. I think there's a lot we can learn from this exploration of seeing how mindfulness comes and goes. One of the first things we start to see is where our minds get caught. What is it that we get lost in? Those places, those things that are sticky for us, those tend to be the rabbit holes that our mind tends to go down. We also, I think, see very clearly that the mind is pretty much out of control. It's not something that we can just direct and say, mind, we're going to sit here for the next 45 minutes and be present. It's not that amenable to control. And so that is another piece that we learn. We learn about the uncontrollability of our minds. And I think that this exploration about the coming and going of mindfulness can help bring a curiosity about what mindfulness is and how it gets lost, rather than a sense of judgment. At least it was for me, particularly the sense of being curious about what is the experience of mindfulness? Typically, we're not so curious in the experience of mindfulness itself. We're more busy trying to be mindful of something. We're busy trying to be mindful of the breath or pay attention to something. And this exploration of the coming and going in mindfulness, we get curious about mindfulness itself. What is the experience of mindfulness? And for myself, one of the great things about this exploration is that one of the best places to get familiar with what mindfulness is, with what the experience of mindfulness is in the moment when mindfulness returns after a period of time when we've not been mindful. We sometimes call this waking up or coming back. What it is that mindfulness has returned. Mindfulness has re-arisen. And in that moment when mindfulness returns, if instead of judging ourselves for the fact that we've been lost in thought or not present, we get curious about, well, what is the experience of mindfulness? This place of the returning of mindfulness is a great place to begin to notice what the experience of mindfulness is. Because in that moment when mindfulness returns, there's a little bit of a contrast for us between what the mind felt like just a moment ago when it was lost in thought and what the experience is like now with the presence of mind. There's a little bit of a contrast there. And in that very contrast, if we're interested in what it's like for mindfulness to return, and in that moment of waking up, rather than saying, oh, I'm awake, let me come back to the breath, or let me return to paying attention to something, if instead we get curious about what is it like to be mindful in that moment, we can begin to recognize the difference between what it's like to be lost and what it's like to be awake. And that very familiarity is a great thing for us to see. The very familiarity with what it's like to be mindful is a great thing for us to see. Because that moment of mindfulness returning, you know, that happens spontaneously. It's not something you had to do. It's effortless mindfulness, actually. It's one of the other great things about that moment, because it doesn't take any effort to do that. So that in the moment of mindfulness returning, we get that sense of what it's like to be aware, present, without trying so hard. And if we're curious about what mindfulness is itself, the judgment in that moment tends to be much diminished. At least I found that for myself when I got curious about what is it like to be mindful? What is the experience of mindfulness? I realized I've got dozens, if not hundreds, of opportunities in a 45-minute sitting to notice this moment. You know, it's like, rather than being frustrated by that moment, it's like, oh, here's another opportunity to see what is this experience of mindfulness. We also, I think, in this familiarity with that experience of that spontaneous arising of mindfulness, we get attuned, we can begin to get attuned to that experience itself. And one thing that we might start to discover is that that little arising of mindfulness, the moment that mindfulness arises, it happens way more than we think it does. It happens all the time for us throughout the day. You know, we couldn't really navigate our lives without some measure of knowing what's happening while it's happening. But very quickly, as soon as we know what's happening while it's happening, we start doing something with what we've become aware of. We're walking down the street and we, you know, hear the sound of a car going by, and we orient and look at the car and judge whether we need to be careful about crossing the street or something. Now, this is a good thing to do, of course, and yet we typically, in the way we habitually live our lives, we miss these moments of mindfulness, just the spontaneous, effortless moments of mindfulness that are sprinkled throughout the day. And as we begin to practice this exploration of getting familiar with this moment of mindfulness coming back, we start to see those moments more and more often. The more we see them, the more then we see them in even subtler ways. So it has a kind of a cumulative effect of beginning to draw a thread of very effortless mindfulness throughout our day. It's a great thing. This unprompted, this arising of mindfulness, this spontaneous arising of mindfulness, it's effortless. It's also a pointer to the uncontrollability of our minds. You know, you didn't do that. When mindfulness returns, you didn't have any control over that, and yet here it is. And so it is a pointer in, it is a pointer to this teaching of not self, the teaching of the uncontrollable nature of our minds, that there's no one, no entity in control, no entity in there guiding, directing, choosing, deciding. It's all a process, all a flow. And the arising of mindfulness is coming out of that flow and based on the conditions. And we see that the more that we notice mindfulness, the more it sets the conditions to notice mindfulness more. Sometimes it's said that mindfulness is the proximate cause of mindfulness. And this works because mindfulness arises spontaneously at times. Thank goodness. Because that's how this process gets started. So in that moment when mindfulness arises spontaneously, really interesting, I'd like to suggest typically what happens to us in that moment, we tend to have our agenda of meditation and we, in the moment of mindfulness returning, it's like, oh, come back to the breath. We direct our attention to something. And I'd like to suggest for the next week or so, just exploring something a little different in your meditation. Rather than immediately bringing your attention back to some object, be curious about the awareness itself. What is it like to now be mindful? Recognize that you are aware. Just take a moment. It doesn't have to be long, maybe 3 seconds, 4 seconds to recognize, oh, awareness is here. What is this awareness? And it's not like try to figure it out in that moment, but just take in the fact that you know that you're aware there. And then see in that awareness what is obvious in that moment already. Because you are aware, awareness is already knowing something. It may not be knowing the breath. It's knowing whatever it is has woken up into. That might be a sound. It might be a thought. It might be an emotion. In the moment when mindfulness arises, it's already paying attention to something. What are you already aware of in that moment? Instead of overriding that with choosing something else, take a few moments to connect with what you're already aware of. So notice that you're aware. Notice what you're already aware of. Sometimes I say, notice what's obvious in that moment. What's obvious? And then, if you're using a practice of anchoring the attention or choosing an object, then come back to that experience. So just take a few moments to check in to this experience of mindfulness arising in the moment. We can also explore this feeling of awareness or the experience of mindfulness as we're already present. If it occurs to you while you are mindful already, while you're paying attention to the breath or to sound or the flow of changing experience, whatever you are familiar and comfortable with, at certain times you could check in, drop a question into your meditation. How do I know that I'm aware? And then don't try to answer the question. Just let that question drop in and just keep going with your practice. The question can just kind of orient the mind to be curious about what is awareness anyway? The experience of mindfulness, the experience of awareness is really simple. And it's actually Well, sometimes it's hard for us to see because it's so close to us. It's something that we all have experienced so many times, this experience of knowing what's happening while it's happening. We've experienced it so many times, this sense of awareness that we may not, kind of like, you know, the air we breathe, it's not so obvious to us, but it's really simple. So it's not something to look really hard for. It's actually right in front of us. So just checking in, what is this awareness? So that's some of the exploration of looking at the coming of mindfulness, the arising of mindfulness. After we've been lost in thought, whew, mindfulness arises. The other side of the equation is, where do we lose mindfulness? This is a really, I find this to be a really fun exploration and has been one of the things that has really expanded my, I'd say expanded the areas into which mindfulness can penetrate in my experience. There's so many different activities, so many different states of mind that we sometimes think, oh, there's no way I'll ever be able to be mindful there. But if we can get curious about where does mindfulness get lost, we can start to begin to have mindfulness penetrate those areas where mindfulness gets lost. So curiosity, there's so many different ways that mindfulness gets lost, or places or times. I'm going to name a bunch of different areas, and I'm not going to go into a lot of detail in any of these areas, but I just want to kind of put them out there for your own investigation. So sometimes our mindfulness will get lost in particular places. We go into our place of work, and we come out 8 hours later having not been mindful. We go into a grocery store, we have a cup of coffee with a friend, we find we're not mindful, we go into, maybe we find that we're mindful a little bit in our kitchen, but not when we go into the living room. So start being curious about where, what places you lose mindfulness. Now, you'll often notice this in retrospect. You know, it's like walking out of work, for instance, you know, for some reason, hitting the beautiful day, you walk out of work, and now at least that the, you know, we've got daylight savings time again, it's maybe light when you leave work, and you see the beautiful flowers on the trees, it's like, ah, mindfulness returns in that moment, and it's like, whoa, it's been 8 hours, you know, that office was like the rabbit hole for mindfulness. So we notice in retrospect the places where we lose mindfulness. But if we begin to recognize that, now the point of this isn't to say beat yourself up and, you know, be self-judgment and critical about yourself because you weren't mindful at work all day, but the point is to bring curiosity. Like when you identify or recognize the places that you're not mindful, you can begin to bring a kind of a sense of investigation to that. What happens when I walk into that office building? You know, you might begin to recognize that it is like as soon as you walk in the door, you know, you might notice that you're kind of present, and then as soon as you walk into the door, you see the person that you need to have that meeting with. There goes the mindfulness. So just curiosity about it, in knowing that mindfulness tends to get lost in particular places, you can knowing that you're heading there, you might recognize, oh, I'm mindful now. Let's see today what if I can realize where and how I lose mindfulness in this situation. And curiosity is really the key here, not judgment. Because, and this is particularly for mindfulness in daily life, you know, mindfulness in daily life, you know, it's the advanced practice. We sit down in meditation and there's so many different reminders when we're sitting in meditation to help us remember to be mindful. you know, our posture, our eyes are closed, we may have an experience we're choosing to attend to. So there's so many different reminders for us about be mindful. All of those go away in daily life. And so finding things to help you remember, you know, the curiosity around where you lose mindfulness. You might lose awareness in states of body. You might find that when there's pain in the body, the mindfulness tends to get lost. Or, on the other side of it, when there's a lot of pleasure in the body. And sometimes in our sitting meditation, we can find places or get really settled and still and concentrated on the breath, and all kinds of pleasant experiences begin to arise, and we can get lost in those pleasant experiences. So we might lose awareness in states of body. Pain, for example. On one retreat, I began to notice that, and so again, this is, you know, in losing awareness in states of body, we will tend to notice when we wake up. So it's that moment of remembering, the moment of knowing the waking up. In that moment, we begin to see back, where was I lost? How did I get lost? So on one retreat, I began to see that I was waking up into singing. My mind was singing songs. And what I realized was that that was a strategy that the mind had to avoid pain. And so in the waking up into that, you know, I could see that in that very moment of waking up into the singing, the mind was not hooked to and aversive to the painful experience in the body. And there was some sense of ease around that experience. And so the mind got a little bit of an education in the possibility of being present without being aversive to the pain in that moment. And then in seeing how the mind was kind of getting hooked to the pain, so essentially seeing that the mind was getting lost in pain through this strategy of singing, it was actually not getting lost in the pain, but it was getting lost because of the pain in this strategy of singing, then the mind began to explore that whole pattern. And at some point it began to see the way that it actually hooked to the pain. And I could watch that hooking and unhooking. And because it was so interesting to watch that, the mind didn't get lost. So we might lose our awareness in states of body. One of the big areas we lose awareness is in states of mind. Boredom, confusion, depression, anxiety, anger, all of the emotional charged states that tend to generate a lot of thinking. This one in particular, recognizing what we wake up into is a real clue. Rather than in that moment, as I was saying, immediately coming back to the breath or some other experience, if we are curious about what has the mindfulness woken up into, we may begin to get a sense of the patterns of mind, the particular habits of mind, where we tend to get lost. Aversive states, confused states, for example. What I've seen in my own practice is that the willingness to be curious about what I'm waking up into in this way, like I was describing a few minutes ago about how being curious about the mindfulness itself begins to get us familiar with that experience so that we notice it more easily. In the moment of waking up into mindfulness and seeing, oh, waking up into anger, waking up into confusion, waking up into depression, when we notice what we're waking up into like that, it begins to, the mind begins to understand how to be with that state, and it begins to get familiar with what it's like to be mindful of that state of mind without being pulled into it. So it begins to give us a little bit of a sense of the possibility of being with our difficult states of mind when we wake up into and are curious about this state that we've woken up into. And we will see, for me, this was anger, exploring anger. This was one of my very early practices. My first mindfulness practice, actually, was to look at waking up. You know, I kind of made a vow to myself, I'm going to wake up whenever I notice anger or whenever anger is there. And, you know, initially, I was in a rage when I woke up to anger. In my very first few weeks of mindfulness practice, the mindfulness wasn't very strong. It wasn't familiar with being aware of anger, being present for anger. And the mind had kind of spun out of control with anger. And then the mindfulness came in, because it does arise. And that kind of commitment that I had, I'm going to be aware when anger arises, that kind of resolve, I'd made a resolve, I'm going to be attentive to that. Because anger had been something that was so, it had been such a problem for me in my life. It had kind of made me non-functional at times. So that commitment was there. And waking up in a rage, that was pretty unpleasant. That was about all I could do. Was like, wow, this is painful when I noticed the anger. But over the course of several weeks and then months, the mind got more attuned to and familiar with the possibility of being aware of anger. And what began to happen is that the mindfulness began to arise sooner in the process. So the mind wasn't in a rage. It was kind of more like normal anger. It began seeing how the anger was starting to be put together. So this exploration of this place in my mind where it just got sucked into quicksand, the commitment to say, I'm curious at looking at that, was very fruitful in my practice, very fruitful. It was actually what really inspired me to stay with the practice, because so much understanding arose through this exploration of anger in my daily life. So we can get curious about where does our mind get pulled into the quicksand and try to bring some sense of commitment to observe that. What are the habits? What are the patterns of your mind where it gets lost? It's possible to commit and just, you know, it may be that it's pretty deep in the quicksand when you first notice. But if you keep at it, the mindfulness begins to meet that sooner and sooner. So you're not as deep in the quicksand. And then you maybe even can start to see the possibility of like, oh, there's the quicksand. I'm not going there. Also really helpful in this kind of exploration to see, you know, when it's time, you know, these strong habits, strong patterns for us that are like quicksand, sometimes what's skillful in that experience is just touching into it and say, yep, there's that anger, or there's depression, or there's confusion, or there's whatever your flavor is, and turning the attention to something else. So it's just like touch into it, and it's kind of like not now. You know, because sometimes the mindfulness isn't quite strong enough to meet that quicksand. And just, you know, trying to turn your attention to that experience, it can just be like pulled back into the quicksand. So sometimes it's just a simple, recognize, touch into it, acknowledge it. Yep, I see you. And I'm going to put my attention to my feet while I'm walking right now. Just turning the attention to something kind of neutral. The mind can also get lost in states of mind. So this is, you know, kind of following on a little bit from the getting lost in habitual states of mind. The mind can also get lost in states of mind where we have the idea that it's not possible to be mindful. So, spacing out, sleepiness, that kind of state of mind. Sometimes we think, how many of you have had the thought, I'm too sleepy to meditate? If you've had that thought, you know, if you have had that thought arise, there's enough, I'd like to propose at least, that there's enough mindfulness to be mindful of sleepiness. What we typically do in the place where, what we're typically trying to do is accomplish some agenda when we're meditating. So we're trying to, for instance, pay attention to the breath. And we find the mind is dull and sleepy, and it's like, wow, you can maybe get a little sense of an in-breath, but it's like, it's so foggy that it's very hard to experience, to have a sense of the experience of breathing. I've certainly been in places like that where the mind feels so dull that it's hard to contact just about any experience with any kind of clarity. Well, that's what that's doing essentially is trying to direct the attention to some experience. And just sometimes I like to use the analogy of mindfulness being kind of like a mirror. It reflects. Mindfulness, the function of mindfulness in a way is to reflect, just to reflect what's happening in the present moment. And like a mirror, mindfulness doesn't care what it reflects. It reflects anything. It can reflect beautiful things. It can reflect ugly things. It can reflect pleasant things, unpleasant things. It simply reflects. It knows what's happening in the present moment. If we continue with the mirror analogy, what happens when that mirror is coated with steam, as you know, after you've taken a shower in the bathroom? You can't see clearly the things in the mirror. And so, we might get annoyed or frustrated. Oh, I can't see things very clearly. But we know that the function of the mirror is not impacted by the steam. In fact, the mirror is doing its job perfectly. It's reflecting every single drop of water on that mirror. And so the mirror is doing its job. It's just not doing the job we want it to do. And likewise, when our minds are sleepy, typically the feeling that we cannot be mindful is because we're trying to do something that the mind isn't quite able to do. We've got an agenda to do something, but the mind might be perfectly happy to sit there and know, oh, sleepiness is happening. Sleepiness. This is what sleepiness is like. Sleepiness feels like this. One retreat, the first retreat, I think, when I first discovered the possibility of being aware of sleepiness. And one of the great things about mindfulness of sleepiness, a state that we think it's not possible to be mindful of, when we think it's not possible to be mindful of it, usually we have aversion in our minds. I'm trying to be mindful of something else. I can't be mindful. So there's aversion there, and so we're resisting the sleepiness. When we resist sleepiness, it's pretty unpleasant. It doesn't feel good. I think most of you have that sense of, when we're sleepy and trying to meditate, how unpleasant that is. The unpleasantness comes from the resistance. It's not inherently unpleasant to be sleepy. When we get into bed at night, you know, is that unpleasant? No. You can sit here, and if instead of resisting the sleepiness, you notice the experience of sleepiness itself, it's pretty pleasant. You can be aware of that pleasantness. It's fun, actually. On this one retreat, I began to recognize that I could be aware of sleepiness as it descended and kind of first felt the body get all soft and gushy and, you know, kind of sunk a little bit. But that's okay. I was aware. You know, I knew I was there and was feeling all of the sensations, the very pleasant, relaxed sensations of the body. And then the mind started to go into this, like, ooh, vibratory, you know. It was also very pleasant. And then I dropped. The body dropped. That woke me up. So I sat back up and did it all over again. Just over and over again, watching that. You know, if I had been resisting it or trying to do something else, I would have missed the possibility of being mindful of the sleepiness itself. There's so many different places that the mindfulness can penetrate that we don't think is possible. Spacing out, for instance. And we think, you know, spacing out seems to be the quintessential non-mindful state, right? I discovered over breakfast one morning at home, kind of curiosity watching the mind. You know, I was eating breakfast and I had an agenda, mindful of breakfast. That agenda meant pay attention to the eating. Put my fork in the food, lifting, placing, chewing, tasting, all of that. That was my agenda. And I kept noticing the mindfulness getting lost. I'd wake up into being spaced out. So this is, I was seeing the mindfulness got lost in this spaced out state. Wake up, notice the spaced outness, and my habit was come back to the food. That's what being mindful is. Pay attention, back to the food, and moments later, back to spacing out, waking up into spacing out. You know, maybe be lost in spacing out for 30, 40 seconds, something like that, and then waking up into that. And after a little while of this, come back, pay attention to the food, I began to ask myself, well, might it be possible to see where the mind leaves the attention to the food and goes into spacing out. So I began to check that out. Is it possible to see where the mindfulness leaves my chosen thing, you know, what I think it should be paying attention to? Where does it leave that and start to pay attention to something else? This is typically how the mind wanders. That we have chosen some experience to pay attention to, and almost because of that agenda, we miss the fact that the attention is pulled to something else, and because we've missed it getting pulled to something else, it starts thinking about it or gets lost in that state. So, you know, you're sitting here paying attention to breathing, and a motorcycle goes by, and the attention is drawn to that motorcycle, and then you're off on a motorcycle heading to Half Moon Bay. Gotten lost because you didn't see the attention pulled away from the breath to another experience. So I began to get curious. Where is it that the mind is getting pulled? Put my attention in the breakfast, the chewing, and what is it like? When is it that the attention leaves that? Curious in looking at that. And what I experienced was the mindfulness letting go of attending to the process of eating. And it felt like the state of mind or the mind kind of went and hung out up here to the right of my head somewhere, you know, just in a kind of a buzzy kind of experience. So I noticed that buzzy experience and just allowed it to be there, able to be mindful of that state of mind And what was surprising to me in that exploration was that hanging out in that buzzy state, what I recognized was that the mind was pretty tired. It was trying to rest. And in hanging out in that, being mindful of what the mind was naturally doing, being mindful of what the mind was already doing, as opposed to choosing, you know, dragging it back here, but being mindful of what the mind was naturally doing, it took its rest for about 30 seconds, and then it was like the fog lifted, and there was this general sense of presence, of clarity, and I was eating breakfast. So this exploration of seeing where mindfulness gets lost, a curiosity about where mindfulness gets lost, can really begin to open the horizons for us of new terrain for mindfulness. So many times, places, I've seen my mind think, mindfulness, that means this. I try to put my mind in a state in order to meditate. As soon as there's a sense of awareness, am I aware? That is already enough. There's been so much of an understanding of possibility completely unfamiliar states, places of awareness that I had no idea it was possible to be mindful of just through this exploration of where does mindfulness get lost? And might it be possible? If you have the thought, it's not possible to be mindful while X, question it. When I've questioned it, there's almost always been a way. I've not seen a case yet where I've had that, a question, explored it, and not found the possibility of waking up into that. And we can wake up into our whole life, nothing left out. And this brings the possibility of freedom. The more we are awake and aware, the more the mind naturally gravitates towards letting go of the ways it struggles, the ways it suffers. So I need to stop. Thank you for your attention.